Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Wake up, Mr. West, Mr. West, Mr. Fresh, Mr. By himself, he's so impressed. I mean, damn, did you even see the test? You got D's, motherfucker, D's, Rosie Perez, and yes, barely passed any and every class.
You know what time it is? It's Friday morning. That means it's time for the Friday Morning Sports Show with Port Vikings Radio on WDOT Port Washington. I'm Lewis Blakeman alongside Matt Hassan, Chris Spina, and Adam Jackman. This show is a weekly broadcast covering every varsity sport for the Paul D. Schreiber High School Vikings all year round. We are currently on 5:30 on the AM dial every Friday morning from 7:30 AM until 8 AM inside Schreiber High School. A podcast version of the show will also be up on portradio.com for our listeners all around Port Washington. Just click the link titled Shows, then click the title of our show, Friday Morning Sports Show, and click the link in the top left corner page. Now, let's get into the show by starting to talk about the 2018-2019 Port Washington boys varsity basketball season.
All right, yeah. So I think this is a very talented team this year, led by seniors Mark Daly, of course, Lewis Blakeman.
Who's that?
Johnny Bellini, Harrison Onclar, Ben Spear.
Joe Melconian.
Joe Melconian, of course. I know I'm forgetting someone. It's a good team this year. Last year was mostly juniors, and there were only four seniors last year who graduated, who were Shanahan, Stolper, Dash, and Ressa. But now there are, I believe, 7-8 seniors. What does it look?
I think it's seven.
17. It's a lot of players who've been in the program for a while and are ready to showcase their skills at the next level. And I really think this is going to be a good year for Port Lewis. What do you think as an inside perspective?
Well, I think that the team is definitely different from last year. One thing I want to note is that last year at this time we had 15 kids on the team. Right now we're about three weeks into the season, or 2.5 weeks from the vacation, and we have 12 kids. So in that aspect, it's just a much smaller team. And I want to say that this year is going to be built off of last year. I feel like coming into the season, in the first couple of practices, it's like we left off right where we ended, which is always great in the team. We were a little sloppy in our first two scrimmages, but I think moving forward, we're going to get it together and have some good games starting next week. It's definitely going to be a little bit of an uphill battle. At times, every game we're going to get better, just progressing, getting into the five-out offense, and I think that with our chemistry, we've all been playing with each other for a really long time, we'll be successful this year.
Well, as the inside perspective, what do you think is the strength of this team versus last year?
I'd have to say the strength is our depth. We have a lot of different roles. We have scorers, playmakers, and also just our chemistry to go along with it. We've been playing with each other since middle school, and all summer, for the past couple summers of high school, we have been playing in the summer league at Island Garden in the AAU, and we were actually champions of the spring league this past spring. So we've been playing all year round. We just have what a lot of other teams don't.
And I definitely saw this chemistry. I mean, on the game that the scrimmage of that, I went on the bus with the team, and we're going to be traveling with the team on the bus a lot this year to the road games. You could definitely see how, unlike some teams, like, they're all friends. They're all friendly with each other. They know each other. They've grown up together. And I think when you have a bunch of pals on your team, I mean, it makes it easier to play because you're used to playing with them, you're friendly with them, and it just builds more chemistry and communication between the players. So I definitely think that's an upside on this team this year.
I'm just going to play devil advocate for one little second, because I do believe in all the points that those guys just made and the confidence of this team, and that you know, it's a new year and they've got a good communal kind of attitude toward it. But you got to realize there are very tough teams in this conference, and they're not going away. You got teams. Well, you really got the opening night game, which I think will set the tone for the season and really show what this team can do. So if Port can come out strong against Massapequa, give them a run for their money, win this game. Really, if they can win this game, I think they're looking really good for the rest of the season. If they don't, it's going to be a little more of an uphill battle. They're going to have to prove themselves against some tougher teams like Uniondale and Westbury. But really, Uniondale's lost their star player Zion Stiles, and also teams like Baldwin, who are it's very tough to win against those teams anywhere, especially on the road when their fans are coming out. I know Port has a Friday night away game against Baldwin, so that's going to be very, very tough. But if this team is up to the challenge, and that challenge really starts week one, day one, against Massapequa on next Wednesday, December 5th, and if they can show up to that game, I think it'll really set a good tone for the season. But you got to realize, they're really tough teams, and this team's not going to go undefeated. They're not that dominant right now, but I think they can show some people why they can be Nassau County champions early on.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that going to Massapequa is always a tough trip, just because it's a little bit farther than the rest of the schools that we have to face. Plus, it's a 7 o'clock game. I think if we could bring the intensity, the energy, we should definitely be able to beat them. We're definitely a more talented team than they are. We played them in the fall. Obviously, they didn't have their full team, but neither did we, and we were able to take them down. So I honestly think that Massapequa's team this year is worse talent-wise than it was last year, and I think that we are better, equal, if not better, talent-wise than last year. So I think that we'll be able to come away with the win.
Yeah, and Massapequa lost their point guard, Kevin Voigt. He graduated.
Yeah.
And he was one of their star players on Pequa. And as we said, the juniors on last year are now seniors, and it's a lot more of them playing for longer time. So if I had to say anything, I think this is a better team. I mean, they have new players come on the team, like Brandon Caslow and Chris Bradbury, who are making their varsity appearances this year, who are very talented players. You saw in the scrimmages that they've been playing very well. Caslow with his great hustle, you always want a player like that, and Chris Bradbury with his athletic moves. I'm definitely very excited for this team.
Yeah, it's just the talent off the bench, I think, needs to prove itself like it did last year. Obviously, a lot of people don't, you don't know your roles quite yet until you get in the game action. So I think we can assume kind of the starters and their roles. But I'm really interested to see how the bench works, because this is not it's a deep team in terms of their connection and who can kind of play, position-wise, and they've got a lot of guys, but really, in a sense, they don't have a lot of guys because they have 12 guys. So everyone really needs to fit into their role well and really make it a well-oiled machine, or else it kind of falls apart. So I'm really interested to see how the bench works, how guys are keeping a positive attitude if they're on the bench, how they're, they're staying loose, getting into games in tough situations. Because I saw guys, Johnny Bellini was a bench player last season, and he came off the bench and dominated defensively at times when the team really needed him. And even, there were just a lot of specialty guys who could match a certain position and really fill their role and not get overzealous and try to do anything that they couldn't do. So I think that needs to happen this season. I think that'll obviously come with time.
Yeah, that's why I like the term role player, because like someone coming off the bench, just like Bellini did very well last year. And not just Bellini, but a couple other guys. And Coach Dooley puts a lot of emphasis on it. In practice, he's always talking about if you're not in the drill, you should still be in check, in tune with what's going on, so that when you get on the court, you'll be ready to go. There's not going to be any transition time. If you keep your intensity up on the sideline, it's going to be very easy getting into the game.
Well, transitioning from boys to girls basketball, the girls basketball team, they did not start to play yet. However, they did play a couple scrimmages, and I'm still waiting for the schedule to load. But they're another talented team who we expect to do well this year. Lewis, since you're part of the boys' basketball team, what do you say about the girls' one this year?
Well, I don't really know too much about the players on the team, but I know that the team seems a bit younger. They lost some key players, obviously. Rachel Rosen 2 years ago and Rebecca Rosen last year, Tyler Owens. So it's going to be some new leaders on the team, and it's going to be interesting to see.
Well, just for a preview of their schedule, they played a scrimmage against Herricks on November 27th, and their first game will be a home game against Wheatley on the Monday, December 3rd, and that game will be at 4:45. Then they will play 2 days later on the 5th on the road against Southside, which I believe is Rockville Center.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are the two games for girls' basketball that we will further go into depth on in the following weeks. Well, next Friday. Those are the two games we'll go into.
So let's talk about wrestling. Since we got a captain of the team.
I'm not a captain.
Oh, no?
I'm a senior leader. I'm a senior leader.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk about the tournament this weekend, or we can talk about the team in general. Whatever you guys do.
Let's go into all of it.
Okay. So I want to go into the tournament this weekend. We have a lot of wrestlers competing. I think almost every weight class except for a couple. So at 99 pounds, we have Freddie Rios is already in the finals. There's only two wrestlers in that weight class, so we'll see. He'll be wearing the final singlet. He'll be the first one to wear the final singlet. We got new ones with white and like a gold stripe, so it looks pretty cool. 106 pounds, we have Andrew Gaudioso and Christo Fritas. Both good wrestlers. Christo's a freshman, but he's been working a lot in the offseason. I think I expect him to do well. So, Andrew might go 113. We're looking at it right now, but obviously he hasn't wrestled in a year because he got concussed at the end of last season. So,
but he's very good.
But he's very good. I mean, last year he was ranked and everything. So, he is placed with criteria in that tournament. So, looking good. At 113, we have Declan Neville, who placed sixth in the qualifier last year, so he should win a couple matches. And at 120, we have Matthew Castillo, who was an eighth grader on the team last year. His brother's the coach, and he placed fifth in the qualifier. He placed fifth at Kellenberg Ed Slosky tournament. So another guy who could probably make some noise. Hank Paris is not a strong tournament. That's the one we're going to. So we could have a lot of guys place. 126, we have Tyler Carrar, Alex Vivona, and Mike Hellerman. A lot of young wrestlers. Tyler wrestled last year, but we're just going to see what we can get. We're not going to guarantee anything with that.
Is Mike Hellerman a junior?
Matt Hellerman. He's a freshman.
Yeah.
Trying to remember weight class. 132, we have Wilson Velasco and Mark Napoli. Mark actually took second in the qualifier in 2017, so 2 years ago. Last year he got injured, so we're gonna see what we can get there. And Wilson trains like no one else. He's on the cross country team. He lifts. He does everything. He goes to wrestling club, so he should be ready to roll. He's been cutting a lot of weight to get down there. So at 138, I don't know if we have anyone at 138 that comes to mind. We have Brian Sanchez. He's been on the team since sophomore year. He's experienced. We're hoping for some wins there. At 145, I mean, Dan Gibson's going to win the tournament. I can tell you that right now. There's no one's going to beat him. He's going to get down to 38 by next week. He should be, but right now he's wrestling 145. And you have Ty Masha, who could definitely place too. He went to counties last year, and we have Aaron Waxman at 152. The guy who wrestled last year, he was a varsity starter. He likes to run that headlock. I think he can also win a couple matches. I don't know how packed that bracket is, but if the ball bounces away, he definitely can make some noise. And then we have me at 170 pounds. A bit of an update. Your boy tweaked his back at practice yesterday. He had trouble bending down and getting his clothes on this morning. So we're gonna see if he can take some ibuprofen and maybe roll out on the mat. I'm facing the one seed in the first round, so We'll see what happens there. It's only an 8-man bracket, but if I'm hindered, I don't know what could happen.
Yeah.
At 182, we have Jacob Keller. He's seated fourth, I believe. That's a packed bracket. Like, they have a kid who's third in the county and a kid who's sixth in the county, and just he got dealt. It's bad luck. But, you know, I think there's only seven kids in his bracket, so if he can get past the rest of them, I think he can probably might be able to place fourth. And then we have Captain Scott Haggerty at 195. I think that's another 8-man bracket. The stud is on the other side of the bracket. Nick Franco, who's from Farmingdale, he's ranked fourth in the county. So I think Scott can maybe win a couple matches there. Once again, it's not a really tough tournament. I definitely think he can place. And then our last wrestler at 220, we have RJ, who's wrestling with Criteria at the one seed. RJ Holt, not a big bracket. I have hope with him. He's been, I think he like took a laxative. He's like really getting down to that weight. He was like, I think on Monday he was like 10 pounds heavier or something like that. So he's a big, strong kid. He's a sophomore. I have hope. Any questions?
So what are the schools that are competing?
Okay, so the schools that are competing are Plainview, Mineola, Farmingdale. I think Holy Trinity. I can pull out the list if you want me to, but it's like about 8 or 9 schools. The only real powerhouses are Mineola and Farmingdale, especially Farmingdale. And Plainview's pretty good. They're Conference 1 team. Calhoun, yeah.
And just a quick update now to boys bowling. They're 2-0 on the year. They've swept every single game. They've won all three. They've defeated Manhasset and Roslyn, so two rivals. It's good to see. And Doug Rothman's been bowling excellent. He's been really, really good over the last two games. On the game against Manhasset, he bowled 253 in the last game. Very impressive. He had 5 strikes in a row at one point and started the game with the turkey. And then in the second game, Rothman averaged a 180 over 3 games. So definitely
great performance.
Great performance over these two games. Let's hope it continues for boys bowling. Other key players are Teddy Nelson, Brandon Lefcourt, and Chris Schroyer. I think it's going to be a good team this year.
Alright, so let's go into a PSA. While food plays a key role in shaping our identities and is highly celebrated in American society, each year 40% of food in the United States never gets eaten, translating to $218 billion lost, which includes the cost of food wasted on the consumer level, retail, wasted water, energy, fertilizers, cropland, and production costs. In addition to wasting precious resources, nearly all the food waste ends up in landfills where it decomposes and releases methane, a form of climate pollution that is up to 86 times more potent than carbon dioxide. In fact, food is the single largest contributor to U.S. landfills today. All this while 1 in 8 Americans don't have a steady supply of food on their tables. Consumers are responsible for more wasted food than farmers, grocery stores, restaurants, or any other part of the food supply chain. So changing household behavior is key to reducing the problem of food waste. 21% of the food each person buys goes to waste, with the average American family of 4 spending $1,800 per year on food that they don't eat in each individual toss, about 20 pounds of food per month, adding up to 238 pounds of wasted food a year. In effort to spread awareness about the importance of reducing food waste, NRDC has partnered with the Ad Council to create a PSA campaign inspiring Americans to save the food by showcasing the wondrous life cycle of food and the loss of resources when it goes unconsumed. The campaign encourages Americans to make simple lifestyle changes like making shopping lists, freezing food, and using leftovers to reduce waste in their own homes. The campaign launched its first round of work in April 2016. Visit SaveTheFood.com to learn how to better plan, store, and cook your food.
And our promo is obviously the Port Washington Varsity Basketball game at 7 o'clock in Massapequa on Wednesday, December 5th. So definitely try to come out and support the team.
And next Friday, home game, Port will be playing Roslyn.
6:15 tip-off.
Yep.
So, I think the next sport we should get into is girls gymnastics. So, girls gymnastics looking to have a great season once again. If you didn't know, they went 9-1 last year. Definitely a great season with some signature wins over Garden City and Hewlett. The only loss they took last season was against Massapequa, and that was a really close and tough loss, where they lost 162-156 on the scoring chart. But they've got, you know, a great new team with a lot of good senior leaders, and they're looking to, again, you know, really have a dominant record in this conference and maybe win a championship. Their first game is on December 11th against Great Neck South, so that's in a couple weeks. So even next week on our show, we won't be able to talk about their game, their match yet, but they looked to easily win that game. Great Neck South, not a tough competitor, so that game will be at 5 p.m. on December 11th.
All right, so that's going to wrap up our show today on WDOT Port Washington, the Friday Morning Sports Show. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you next Friday.